What a powerful, powerful song. To think about the love of God as it touches and reaches down and transforms our lives. This morning, I want us to think, and I have kind of put into the lesson the title, Follow the Instructions. But it's really not about following the instructions, it's about coming to know the instructor. Sometimes when we think about rules, we forget that behind the rules there is a ruler. And for us, when we think about commands, we need to understand that behind the commands are the Christ, which has given them to us. And so I want us to think about not this study from a place of I don't know, obedience in the sense of just simply finding out what to do, but really finding the one that we follow so we can learn what it means to be more and more like him. Well, you know I love some smiles, and I want to start out with that as often as I can. I don't know if there's anything cuter. Don't be embarrassed. And then what about these cuties? Now, speaking of cuties, that is a beautiful blast from the past. And then this smile, that was a winner right there for us. Let's keep on going here. Got to see a couple of guys play. Notice there's that Brock is smiling, and Luke is still trying to figure out if this is a smile or not. All right, just because you got pads on doesn't mean you can't grin. Lots of folks involved in great things, and just what a blessing. There's Danae and Nina and Jerry. sorry, Jerry. As a matter of fact, we do need to honor. Look at that pretty smile. Oh, now that's a good one, right? That's real good. But we got to honor this one right here. 40 years. I feel like we need to present Miss Pam with a medal. I mean, can I get, yes, you may clap for that. What a blessing you guys have been to the church here, and as well as West Seventh, and so many people. And I say you guys because it's not just Jerry. Pam is the one that keeps him going and probably keeps him in line most of the times, and as best she can. But 40 years, what a blessing. And I got to say thank you, because I got lots of love this past Thursday on a birthday that I had that was just a little bit more than that 40. So just so you know. Uh-oh, somebody slipped that in. I didn't put this in, just for the record. Anyway, Dale was in town, took us out to lunch, and it was really a fun time. We've been looking at what John 8:31 says to us about being a disciple of Jesus. And in this text, Jesus, the Son of God, is speaking to a group of folks, and he's talking to them about being truly his disciples. So in kind of an idea in seeing that, I see that there's a possibility for us to just kind of be nominally or like disciples in name only. You kind of, somebody will say, "Hey, well, what are you?" "Well, I'm this." And it's just like, "Oh, but I don't ever go," or, "I don't ever do this or do that." It's just, but a disciple that is truly his disciple. Jesus tells us in John 8:31 that if you are truly my disciples, you will hold to my teachings. And so what I wanted to do with this idea as we continue this thought, holding to the teachings of Jesus, holding on to what God has given us, I wanted us to spend a little time with this a passage in 1 Thessalonians, a passage from the Apostle Paul that gives us some interesting thoughts about what it looks like for us to follow the teachings. Now, following instructions. Sometimes we get instructions and we're like, "Really? Is it necessary?" You know, like this Vidal Sassoon hairdryer. do not use while sleeping. I've never had that problem. I mean, for a couple of different reasons. But it doesn't take that much to get my hair dry. But I thought that was pretty good. The second one was this one. Don't hold the wrong end of a chainsaw. You know, I mean, maybe we need to say that, but do not swallow. Anybody had a trouble swallowing your coat hanger this morning as you were getting ready? Did that even cross anybody's mind? I mean, have you ever even seen a child with a mouth big enough to try to swallow? No, it's not a good idea. But I wonder who that guy was, whose cleaners that was. But I thought that was pretty special. Who's ever dealt with this instruction? I mean, really? I mean, have you ever thought it would be a good idea to dry your pets? Now, I will say this, Melanie, you might need to put this one on your fridge. I mean, on your microwave. Because Dale's back home. He may be, you know, that dog thing. Your dryer. Do not put any person in this washer, I mean. Not a good idea. Don't breathe underwater at the local swimming pool. I mean, some instructions we get and we're just kind of like, what, really? I mean, did I really need that one? You know, hey, here's the instructions, medical. Hey, by the way, if you're overweight, lose weight. It'll help you. Kids are kind of funny with these instructions. As a school teacher, you kind of will come across some different things that kind of make you smile. What's the difference between 8 and 6? Eight's all curly. And 6 isn't. I thought that was pretty good. What about this one? Bobby has 4 dimes and Amy has 30 pennies. Which child has more money? Bobby. Okay. How do you know? Show your thinking. I thought that was pretty good. You got to be specific in some instructions, right? And then how do you change centimeters to meters? I mean, this is good stuff. This is good stuff. You know, it went from being real funny to being real serious real quick, didn't it? You know, that we have a whole department in our government that can just make you, you know, tense up with just 3 little letters. When it comes to following instructions, this is one of those 3-lettered things that you kind of go, you know, there's so much that I just don't know and so many things that I imagine that they could come get me over if I don't do it right. And it's kind of this fear, you know. And I'm just going to pay somebody, you know. I mean, Scott Ford's built a business, you know, just because people are scared of the IRS. You know, it's a great thing for you, you know, but for the rest of us. But I got to thinking about following instructions when it comes around these 3 letters, and we all kind of perk up and we realize, you know, sometimes it is really important. And I want to read to you from what Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, because the end of this chat, and I'm going to start at the end first, because he gives us almost like in his grand finale the reason we need to follow the instructions. You see, the reason he grand finales is, he says, according to the Lord's very words, this is verse 15, we tell you that those who are still alive and left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of the call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, those who are still alive will be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, the Thessalonian writer is writing to the church. He's writing to Christians, and he's encouraging those Christians to keep on living this life. Don't be discouraged if you think you've missed the boat, this idea of, you know, that you haven't, he said, because this is, when Jesus comes back, everybody's going to know it. He starts his second letter with a very similar thought about the Lord's second coming. And he's encouraging to say, look, God is just, because they were going through a lot of suffering. Verse 6, God is just and he will pay back trouble for those who trouble you, give relief for those who are troubled. This will happen when the Lord is revealed from heaven in blazing fire and with powerful angels, and he will bring punishment upon those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And they will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and the glory of his might on that day when he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all of those who have believed. And this includes you, because you believed our testimony to you. You see, what Paul culminates this thought is it's not one day that there's going to be some secret audit that shows up at your house and goes, hey, I need to see your stuff. What it shows us is that you're choosing to follow Jesus and live your life for Jesus. You're choosing to listen to his instructions and let those things guide your life is going to be the difference in an eternity with him and the Heavenly Father or without him. And it's a tragic end to think that me refusing to obey the commands of God could, and turning my back on Jesus could mean that I am never with the goodness of God ever again. That I am with the punishment that comes and was created for Satan and his angels in hell. So as we back up to the first verse of this chapter, I want us to just notice here in chapter 4, verse 1, we're given some instructions. They're instructions on holiness. What does that mean? To be like God in his purity, to be set apart for a special purpose. Listen to verse 1 as we begin to read. As for the other matters, brothers and sisters, we instructed you how to live in order to please God. Man, that's a great word, isn't it? To think about, I just want to live in order to please God. That these instructions aren't like some burden, some regulation that he's trying to keep you from having a good time or trying to do. He's just saying, look, this is the way that you live to please me. And that's pretty powerful. He says, in fact, you guys are living this way. I mean, what a confirmation, what a blessing. He said, in fact, you are living this way. Now we ask you, and we urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more. It's one of those things that Paul gives a compliment, and the compliment then urges us to, hey, listen, you're doing a great job. Hey, keep on doing this. Do it more and more. Pursue it in a greater way. And he goes on to say, verse 2, for you know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. Now, you remember back in Matthew chapter 28, as we've talked about making disciples who make disciples who make disciples, that we not only want to be a follower or a disciple of Jesus, one who learns his way and lives that way of Jesus out, we also want to help other people to do that. And at the beginning of the Great Commission, Jesus says to them, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me. Who gave him that authority? God the Father did. He said, all authority is given to me. And now Paul is telling us that the things he was teaching, other people were given to him because Jesus gave him the authority to teach these things. These are the teachings of the Lord Jesus. We gave you these instructions by the authority of the Lord. Verse 3, it is God's will that you should be sanctified. Sanctified. That's an interesting word. And he tells us about what it looks like in a very simple term. What does it mean to be sanctified? I think first of all, we have to talk about the place in which we come to Jesus first. You know, if you turn back to the beginning of this, he writes, he says, to the first chapter, to the church of the Thessalonians, in the God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the folks that were part of the body of Christ. These were folks that were in Christ. And so when he writes to them, there's a point in which they made a decision to leave being in the world and to come into Jesus Christ. There was a point in which they said, I'm living in darkness and I'm making a decision to step over, and because of my faith, I want to be in Christ. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 and 27, Paul writes about that, and he talks about our faith. He says, so in Christ Jesus, you are children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. You see, the first thing about holiness is we understand that when by faith we are baptized into Christ, we receive not my holiness, but the holiness of Jesus. He was the perfect Lamb of God. He was the Lamb that was without spot or blemish, that the Jewish nation had participated with and had brought their own sacrifice and brought it time and time again. But now he's the once for all given sacrifice so we can be holy. But what does that holiness look like? Well, let's keep looking. Verse 3, it is God's will that you would be sanctified. Now, before I go on, have you ever been there where you've been, Lord, what's your will for my life? God, what do you want from, what is it that I'm supposed to do? God, what's your will for my life? Well, here it is. It is the Lord's will for us that we first and foremost be sanctified. That we in Jesus, that we get into Christ and we live a life that is set apart for following Him, for being like Him. What does it look like? Well, here we go. It's God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should, A, avoid sexual immorality. Man, we live in a world that is a sex-saturated world. From the beginning to every place you go, you can't turn around when there's something that's not in your face that's promoting this sort of thing. And now more than ever, we have got to be on guard. We've got to be aggressively avoiding sexual immorality, not just with our bodies, but with our eyes and with our minds and with in every way. How can we help one another to avoid these things? Paul says you can't be sexually immoral. You can't continue to practice the way that you used to live in the old life and expect to be one of God's holy people. Holiness is about a change of action as well as a change of a location. Avoid sexual immorality. He tells us about how we do that, that each one of you should learn to control your own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like the pagans or those that don't know God. You expect that from the world around you, but you know the Lord, you know Christ, you know what God has done for you. Don't just live like everybody else. You're different. Don't live in passionate lust like the pagans who do not know God. And that this one thing, verse 6, and that in this matter no one should wrong or take advantage of a brother or sister. So do you realize that when you commit a sexual act, it's always against another person, not only yourself, not only a God, but there is another person involved. Somebody says, oh, I'm just looking at something online. Well, there are people with souls that are involved in that thing. There are people involved in those issues that people step into, and even if it's somebody, oh, we've been dating, whatever. No, that's somebody that God loves so much that His Son died for, that if you commit this sexually immoral act with them, then that's not just you sinning against yourself, it's also a sin against this person. He reminds us that sexual purity is also about taking care of our brothers and sisters. That's one of the things I think is important about you know, as we think about how we dress and the mod. It's not that I'm not responsible for my own thoughts and my eyes, but at the same time, I certainly as I don't want my daughters to wear things that produce those thoughts in somebody else's mind, or my wife to wear something that produces that in somebody else's mind. See, I'm sexual purity is about a mindset that also is helping other people to be pure as well. Not in a legalistic, you got to wear this yet, but in a way that says, you know, is this really what's best? So there's a brotherly love continuing. He talks about this in verse 9 as well. Now that you love one another, he brings it back to that brotherly love thought. But let's continue on back in verse 6. You shouldn't take advantage of a brother or sister. The Lord will punish those who commit such sins. Again, he brings us to that thought we had at the end that look, there's holiness is a blessing for us that allows us one day to enter the presence of God by the holiness of Jesus, not of our own accord, but by Christ's holiness. I get the blessing of that. But conversely, if I maintain an unholy or a sinful lifestyle, though God's presence and that sinful lifestyle, they can't be together. It's against the very nature of God to be in the presence of that sinfulness. That's why He let His Son die for us. And so I think about that, and I think about why holiness? Why am I trying to be like Jesus? Because that's a blessing for me. He goes on to say, God did not call us to be impure, but to live holy, to live a holy life. Therefore, anyone who rejects the instruction does not reject a human being, but God. I want you to catch that. The Apostle Paul is teaching here, all right? And he is saying, Jesus has given me the authority. Look, this is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 8. 7 and 8, God did not call us to be impure, but to live holy lives. Therefore, anyone who rejects this instruction doesn't reject a human being, but God. So Paul has said earlier, I'm speaking to you by the authority given to me by Jesus. Jesus has said, I'm teaching you because God has given me the authority here on earth to communicate His will to us. Now the Apostle Paul says this, he says, he brings it back full circle. Therefore, anyone who rejects what I'm telling you doesn't reject just me as a person. He's not just rejecting the teaching of Paul. He says if a person rejects this teaching, they're rejecting the very words of God. They're rejecting God. So you see, Scripture, he wraps all the way. It's not that you can come one day to a teaching time and somebody says, well, this is the red letter word of Jesus. And I love the red letter words of Jesus. Those are powerful and important. But Paul in this teaching says, the very words that I have spoken, because the red letter word of Jesus that gave Him the authority through God, He gave us the authority to teach through the Holy Spirit. And so there's not a weighted scale to where you go, hey, listen, we're going to look at the things in red and we're going to embrace them. And then everything else is just kind of a, hey, take it or leave it. It really doesn't matter. No. Paul in this very text is wrapping together the power of inspiration throughout the entirety of the New Testament. And he says the things that Jesus has taught us are true and powerful. We need to follow them. But the things that you find in the rest of the New Testament are also by the authority of Jesus as well. Don't miss that. That is so, so important. He goes on because he takes it back. You don't reject human, you reject God, because the very God who gives you His Holy Spirit. So now you have Jesus, God the Father, His Holy Spirit, and then the teachings of Scripture that came through the apostles, all woven together. All right, continue on. Verse 9. Now, about your love for one another, he says, I don't need to write you this, for you've been taught, again, by God, to love each other. I think that's interesting. Who taught us to love each other? You remember? They said, hey, Jesus, what's the greatest command? Love God and love your neighbor. Paul says, wait a minute, you've been taught by who? You've been taught by God. You've been taught by Christ, this teaching. He goes on to say, I think you're doing it pretty good. You must be. In fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. And we urge you. We urge you. So there were Christians throughout this whole region, and they were part of the same family of God. They may not have been in the same household, this group that was worshiping in this place or that place, but they were part of the greater family of God. And he says, he goes on to say, in fact, you love their whole family throughout Macedonia, yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, hear the phrase, do it more and more. See, it's one thing for us to desire to be holy, but it's another thing to be more and more people, to try to pursue it, not out of a legalistic, I got to do more, I'm trying to earn my salvation. No, 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 I got to keep. Jesus did away with the keeping of the laws and the fact that you could never do it good enough. But the challenge is, we need to always be pursuing His holiness with everything that we have, more and more. If you go back through the next two chapters, you're going to find some different specific instructions. He talks about things that we're to avoid, how we're to love each other, how we're to control ourselves. He goes on in verse, don't put out the fire of the Holy Spirit's fire within you, this passion that God's given you. When you feel a spiritual thing that you feel like, man, I ought to be doing this. I ought to talk to this person. This is something I'm supposed to do for God. Listen, when you feel that, don't just go, oh, I'm just forget that. That may be God pushing you in that direction to try to get you to be His vessel here on this earth. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Encourage each other. He goes, put on faith and love as a breastplate. Give thanks in all circumstances. Be holy and honorable. Don't be idle. Not idle like a statue. Don't be a bum. Not doing anything. Don't be, be joyful always. Verse 26, he says, let me read that for you here. Greet all God's people with a holy kiss. He's talking about how we greet. Make sure your kisses are holy, you know. Lead quiet lives. Mind your own business. Don't pay back wrong. Over and over, is there a bad thing in any of these things? Win the respect of the outsiders. Test everything. Look at things and make a decision about, is this good of God or is it not? Not only does He give us instructions, we're also given this thought. We're given some results that happen. We all like results, right? We want to see results when we do something. What are the results that 1 Thessalonians 4 gives us? When we live this life, when we follow the holiness of God, guess what it does? We are pleasing to God. There are things in life that are pleasing. There are other things in life that are not pleasing. If I'm living a holy life, I can know this. God is pleased. Not only is God pleased, I have been set apart by God for a specific purpose. That it's not just that Jesus wanted to call us out of darkness into His marvelous light, or for us to leave the death of sin to be raised up as a person who is baptized into Christ, is buried with Christ and raised to walk in a newness of life. He's saying, you're set apart now. You've been saved from something for something. You weren't just saved from hell. You're saved for a purpose. What are we doing with that? Set apart for God. Not only that, we can know this. We are living a holy life. What a blessing. You ever wonder just like, well, is this good? Is it? Now just listen to the Lord. Let Him lead you. Let Him guide you. It also wins the respect of others that are outside. You know, one thing that more people who are not Christians will say about why they are not Christians more than anything, it's when they've seen someone who claims to be a Christian not be like Jesus. And they say, I'm not as good a guy as that guy. He's a hypocrite. Whatever. You see, if you want to win the respect of those who are outside of Christ, you live a life that is like Christ, and you'll win their respect. And then finally, that verse 17, where it says that we will be with the Lord forever. What an encouragement for us to think about. Here are these instructions, and that if we follow the instructions, here are the results that come along with that. And finally, I think about this. Again, we just spent a little time. I jumped ahead. The source of this was not just man. This is the Apostle Paul is speaking with the authority of Christ. And it means his weight, his word carries the very same weight that the words that Jesus spoke, because Christ authorized Paul to speak. It's the source. Again, one doesn't reject man, but God who has given the Holy Spirit. So when you think about following instructions, what do you think about? Can you remember a time where you were ever given something and it kind of backfired on you? I remember one time I had a sheet and had all these words that were kind of circled in the word search kind of grid. Have you seen one of those before? And I gave it out as a test. I said, all right, guys, this is easy. There's like 10 on here. I want you to just take it, read the instructions, put your name on it, and I'm going to give you this as a 10-point test. So they all seniors, they take it and they start circling. And then on the top line, like even above the word search, was the instructions that said, turn the paper over and sign your name on the bottom and turn it in. That's all you're supposed to do. And they had spent like 30 minutes like finding all these words and going through all this, and all it said was, the instructions were, turn the sheet upside down, write your name on the bottom, and turn it in. What has God given us as instructions? Hebrews 11:6. Do you believe the things we talk about in this room? Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that this is the inspired Word of God, the very breath of God spoken into our presence through these authors, through His will into our lives? Do you believe that Jesus died, as we read this morning, as we approach the Lord's Supper? Do you believe that He was raised from the dead? Do you believe He's reigning now in heaven? He's coming again. Do you believe that? Because if you don't believe, none of the other stuff will even matter. This is where it all starts. Are you willing to turn away from your past? Luke tells us that unless we repent, we will perish. He was talking to a group of Jews on that occasion that didn't believe in Jesus. He said, look, unless you change your heart, unless you do things different, you're not going to be, you can't be saved. You're going to perish. What about confess? Will you confess that you believe that Jesus is God's Son? Romans 10:10 says that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That there's something about saying, I believe Jesus is the Son of God, in front of other folks. That's powerful. That's like you're standing in front of an audience and saying, do you take so-and-so to be your brother? I do. There's something about that audible profession of faith. But you don't just confess one time. You continue to live this life and confess daily as you go on. What about being baptized? Not just for any reason and in any way, but have I been immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of my sins? You know, as you look back and you go, well, no, I got saved and I got baptized a couple months later. Or, well, that you don't find that in Scripture. You find folks that when they were committed to Jesus, they said, I want to be in Christ. And whether it was this midnight, whether it was on a road in the middle of a deserted kind of place in a lake where there were just two people, they said, I need the forgiveness of God. I want to be holy. I want to be in Christ. Will you follow those instructions, that invitation? What about walking in the light? Sometimes we think, well, what happens next? I mean, I want to be a Christian, but what happens next? Well, just follow the instructions. If we walk in the light, 1 John verse 6 through 9 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ continually cleanses us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful to forgive us. You don't have to confess it to me. I'm no different, no better than anybody else in this room. The confession is to the one we've sinned against. Occasionally there's a person that I've sinned against I need to come to, and I say, look, I did you wrong. I apologize. I need to confess this. But most of the time, my sins are against God and God alone. But He says, if I confess those to Him, He is faithful to forgive and continue to bless me. Will you follow Jesus? Will you follow Him? You see, it's not just about following the instructions. It's about following an instructor. It's not following rules, it's following Jesus as my rabbi. It's not just following a command, it's following the Creator. I'm following Jesus. Will you follow Jesus? If there's any way we can encourage you today, we want to do that. There is nothing more important in our lives. There's nothing better that we can do with our time. There's nothing that matters more than that decision you make to follow Him. Who will follow Jesus today? Who will follow Jesus? If there's any way we can help you, won't you come as we stand and as we sing?